नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम फोर्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 30 Entitled The Activities of the Pachetas, text number 20. Navyavadridaye atgyo Brahmaitad Brahmavadibi Namuyanti nasuchanti Narishyanti yato gataha Navyavat, ever increasingly fresh. Ridaye, in the heart. Yat, as. Gya, the supreme knower, Paramatma. Brahma, Brahman. Etat, this. Brahmavadibhi. By the advocates of the absolute truth. Na, never. Muyanti, are bewildered. Na, never. Suchanti, lament. Na, never. Visyanti, are jubilant. Yataha, when, gataha, have attained. Translation. Always engaging in the activities of devotional service, devotees feel ever increasingly fresh and new in all their activities. The all-knower, the supersoul within the heart of the devotee, makes everything increasingly fresh. This is known as the Brahman position by the advocates of the absolute truth. In such a liberated stage, Brahma-bhuta, one is never bewildered, nor does one lament or become unnecessarily jubilant. This is due to the Brahma-bhuta situation. Purport. A devotee is inspired by the supersoul within the heart to advance in devotional service in a variety of ways. The devotee does not feel hackneyed or stereotype, nor does he feel that he is in a stagnant position. In a material world, if one engages in chanting a material name, he will feel tired after chanting a few times. However, one can chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra all day and night and never feel tired. As chanting is increased, it will come out new and fresh. Srila Rupa Goswami said that if he could somehow get millions of ears and tongues, then he could relish spiritual bliss by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. There's really nothing uninspiring for a highly advanced devotee. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that He is situated in everyone's heart and that He helps the living entity forget and remember. By the grace of the Lord, the devotee gets inspiration. Te sam satata yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Bhagavad Gita 10:10. As stated, kusala karmanam. Those engaged in auspicious activities in devotional service are guided by the supersoul, described in this verse as gya, one who knows everything, past, present, and future. The supersoul gives instructions to the sincere, unalloyed devotee on how he can progress more and more in approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Jiva Goswami in this connection says that the Supersoul, the plenary expansion of the Personality of Godhead, exists in everyone's heart, but in the heart of the devotee, he reveals himself as ever increasingly new. Being inspired by him, the devotee experiences increased transcendental bliss in the execution of his devotional service. Om Agyana Timarandasya Gyanandana Salakaya Shakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Si Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapanantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. In a letter to Ekendra, Ekendra was a young boy, one of the few younger boys that Srila Prabhupada initiated. And Ekendra had written to Prabhupada about his studies and that he was learning mathematics. And then Prabhupada wrote back about mathematics. And he said, yes, mathematics, 5 plus 5 is 10, 2 plus 2 is 4, and everything plus Krishna is Vrindavan. So that is real mathematics. And that is exactly how a devotee will always be inspired, because he will simply always add Krishna. And because Krishna is the added dimension in any situation, even when materially speaking things are not pleasant, and then still, because the devotee sees Krishna behind all these material circumstances, and he sees Krishna's purpose, and he sees that Krishna is all good, therefore, where's the question of seeing any situation as not good? That's the philosophy. In practice, it is difficult. There are moments that it really looks very difficult, life. There are moments that it looks almost unbearable. And therefore, for most, this is something to meditate on. This state of consciousness of not being affected by any material condition is something to remember. But it will be tested in very, very difficult situations. Throughout the world, literature about religious topics, we are finding that people are tested. And recently I was watching a movie about Islam, and it particularly a National Geographic production, well done, and it showed the Hajj. And one of the details in the Hajj means the pilgrimage to Mecca, one of the details, they stay there for quite a number of days, and at one point they go into the desert and camp out there. And they remember that God then ordered Abraham that he should sacrifice his son. Right? And then he had three times he was tested by the devil, and he had moments of doubt. Right? And they are reliving that that testing by the devil. And then Abraham threw stones at the devil. Right? And he chased him away with stones. So they all go, millions of pilgrims, 2 million at a time or more, and they have these stone columns, and they throw stones, and they really get into it. I mean, they throw, they get wild in throwing. It's quite an occasion. And these pillars are quite large, and there's a large open area, a ring around them to catch all the stones. I guess they keep on using the same stones. But anyway, and then, so these pillars are also quite high, and there are modern walkways now, on different levels, so that people can go on three levels all at once and throw stones, so that the crowds can really get into it in chasing away the devil. And that three times. So we also experience something like that. We have the six enemies of the mind: kama, krodha, moha, lobha, matsarya. These attacks of lust, greed, anger, madness, illusion, and envy. And these are the six enemies. And these six enemies, they reappear again and again and attack the mind. And at a time like that, it's more difficult to experience everything as inspiring and ever fresh. When one is under attack, then one experiences it a little difficult. Spiritual life becomes, at that time, a struggle. So that may be the case if one is still, to some extent, a conditioned soul. One cannot say a fully conditioned soul, but still a little bit influenced by the material energy. And then that material energy comes in the form of these six enemies, and that is the case. So that may be there, but one still has a deeper level, a deeper philosophical level. And a devotee at least must live within the philosophy. He must firmly fix himself in that philosophical understanding and time again remind oneself that actually there is no cause for lamentation, and actually everything is surcharged with the mercy of Krishna, and therefore everything is full of positive meaning, and everything is therefore really part of a wonderful scheme, and we are constantly seeing. We can constantly recognize how things are going on by the wonderful arrangement of Krishna. So it's very important to see everything as Krishna's arrangement and to recognize, not only philosophically, but also to actually see in practical circumstances Krishna's hand. And that meditation is required to kind of try to see Krishna in the circumstances. One thing that struck me immediately as interesting as we were reading through the purport was that it was emphasized that the super soul is enlightening the devotee from within. And it's also in the verse and elaborated upon in the purport. Oftentimes we are seeing that the emphasis is placed on enlightenment coming through the spiritual master. And that through the spiritual master, one is receiving instructions, following these instructions, realizing these instructions, and gaining enlightenment. But here, the emphasis is placed on the super soul as acting as the agent to reveal transcendence to us. But that is also a significant part in our spiritual life. And the super soul, known as Chetya Guru, the guru within the heart, is revealing transcendental knowledge. And therefore a Vaishnava is sensitive to this, and is, of course, we know that whatever is revealed from within could be coming from the super soul, but could also be coming from the mind. And it is a little difficult to ascertain who is speaking here. Is it a super? If we hear an inner voice, I'm saying not physically hearing in this case, but hearing sort of some inner knowing is there. Is it the mind or is it the super soul? That may be difficult to ascertain. But still, a devotee is kind of looking for this kind of guidance, one is also looking in life, what is the will of the Lord? And that is how a Vaishnava lives, sensitive to the will of the Lord. And when again and again an inspiration comes from within the heart, then the thought might occur, could it be, not from it is, but could it be that the Supreme Lord would like me to act in such way? And then when the Vaishnavas and the scriptures confirm the same, yes, then it is a clear and strong direction of the Supreme Lord. So in this way, the devotee is living in a close relationship with the Supreme Lord. Gradually, that relationship becomes more and more deepened, because we find that it is explained that through the process of devotional service, the heart becomes purified. Anartapasamam saksat bhakti yogam adoksaje. The anartas are being removed from the heart. And Narada Muni is explaining in Bhagavatam that as the heart is being purified, that gradually one can enthrone the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the heart. So it's interesting because the Lord was already there as the super soul, and now we're going to enthrone him in the heart. The enthroning of the Lord in the heart is referring to the Ishtadev, or to our worshipful deity, which in our case is Krishna, and not so much the super soul. The super soul is described as being Lord Vishnu, Kshirdaksaya Vishnu. It is said the size of a thumb is the Paramatma within the heart, and he is the four-armed form of Lord Vishnu. Helmet and ornaments and so on. All the attributes of Vishnu are there. Weapons in the forearms and complete Lord Vishnu. It is also said that although the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are most respectful towards Lord Vishnu, and they certainly are accepting him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, still they focus in their worship on Lord Krishna and not on Lord Vishnu. And Srila Prabhupada also reminds us of that in the final chapter of the Bhagavad Gita in his purports, and he points out that a devotee will certainly offer his obeisances to Lord Vishnu and then continue his worship of Krishna and totally, exclusively focus on Krishna. So we are not starting an altar and beginning to kind of place all kinds of Narayan deities there as well. No, we focus in our sampradaya, the focus is exclusively on Krishna. So interesting that as the heart becomes purified and as we are enthroning the Lord within the heart, we are actually enthroning Lord Krishna in the heart. And then from within the heart, it is Krishna who is guiding us. It is not the Paramatma in its four-armed form who is guiding us. Then it is Krishna directly within the heart who is guiding us. And well, in the concluding words of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada explains that Krishna is never alone, but that Krishna within the heart is there also with all his associates. So it is quite crowded there in the heart. There is because Krishna has a lot of associates, if you think about it. And so it's quite full there with all kinds of exalted personalities. And not only that, Srila Prabhupada said that amongst Krishna's associates, certainly the spiritual master is also there, so he's also there within the heart, and that he is, and that's his main point in the concluding words. He said, and in this way, I'm never separated from my spiritual master. He is always present. Because Srila Prabhupada completed his translation of the and commentary of the Chaitanya Charitamrita after the disappearance of his spiritual master. So, so that is interesting, how we can be very intimately connected with Krishna. And that Krishna within the heart is directly Krishna. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not a picture of Krishna, but Krishna in person. Krishna who is directly relating with us. And in this way, a devotee is in direct communication with Krishna. Now we're speaking about the liberated souls, the parisats. They are at any time able to communicate with the Lord, because the Lord is basically available. He is basically there. That is to say, if he so desires. Because it is said, Aslishyava padaratam pinastamam adarsanam namatam karutiva yatavavidadatalam patomat prananatas tu sevanapara. If Krishna desires to make himself invisible from his devotee, then that is his prerogative. He is the independent Supreme Lord. And although the fully realized devotee, it is said realization of Krishna comes in different stages. And in a stage of nista, one comes to a stage of surrender to Krishna. This stage of nista is quite interesting. In this stage of nista, very firmly fixed in his surrender, one comes to the point of saying, Krishna, I am yours. That is nista. Krishna, I am yours. It is also said about nista that at that stage, Srila Prabhupada explains, one is 60 or 70% purified. Prabhupada comments on a verse, Bhagavad Bhaktiya Naistiki, and then he explains what this Naistiki or Nista means. And he says, 60 or 70% purified. So more purified than contaminated, or more absorbed in remembering Krishna than under the influence of the modes of material nature. Or the influence of the material energy has gone into the background, he explains. At this stage, it said, spiritual life becomes inspired. And the acharyas are offering an analogy where it is said it is like going up a mountain, and up to the stage of nista, you're going up. And then at nista, you're on the top of the hill, or and you have a good overview of the whole path before you, and you see the remainder of the way, all the way from nista to ruchi, to transcendental taste, through ashakti attachment, and so on, bhav, all the way up to prem. One has some sort of view of, and it becomes easy. From that point on, spiritual life goes, it's all downhill in the positive sense. Eh? Sometimes the word downhill has a negative connotation, but here it means easy going, right? Instead of struggling and going uphill. So that is interesting. But then, in the more advanced stages of devotional service, in the stages of bhava, one is no longer in the mood of Krishna, I am yours. But one comes to the stage of mamata. Krishna, you are mine. Mine. Mamata, very strong. The sense that one has Krishna. And Krishna is mine. At that stage, Krishna begins to play all kinds of games. And he begins to to disappear, just to increase the eagerness of the devotee, as we see in the dealings with Krishna and the gopis in Vrindavan, to increase the transcendental love. He may also do that in an earlier stage, disappearing, because Krishna also disappeared with Narada Muni and with Dhruva also. He appeared before them and then disappeared. So Krishna has this way of being visible and being invisible. And for us, Krishna is not directly visible, Krishna, but we do experience Krishna's presence within the heart, and sometimes more, and sometimes less, and sometimes clearly, and sometimes everything is totally unclear, and we are feeling weak and bewildered, and so on. What Srimad Bhagavatam is basically doing is giving us, for the sadhaka in this verse, encouragement. A verse in Srimad Bhagavatam can be read by different levels of devotees, and it has a different meaning, therefore. For the sadhaka, this verse is encouragement. For the parisat, the eternal associate of the Lord, this verse is just reconfirming his immediate experience, what he's going through. Yes, yes, yes. Rupa Goswami, yes, yes, yes. Millions of ears, millions of tongues. But for the sadhaka, this verse is reminding us of the eternal dimension. Being influenced by the three modes of material nature is sometimes compared about being covered by the sky above our eyes, being covered by a few clouds, and then not being able to see what is beyond the luminaries in the sky, the sun, the stars, and so on, due to the influence of clouds. But at least we know the luminaries are there. And if we strongly remember that the luminaries are there, even if all we can see is clouds at time, we know that the sun is shining. It is not that the sun is not shining. It is simply our eyes that are covered by the cloud, but the sun is shining. And in this way, even if sometimes we cannot see Krishna, we still know that he is there, all-pervading. So in this way, Bhagavatam is reinforcing us in a deeper understanding, which goes beyond our perception. And this understanding beyond our perception is very important, because that is our anchor. That is what will save us from the waves of the three modes of material nature. And these waves will come. Sometimes we say, everything is going so well now in my spiritual life. I feel so inspired, and everything is going really well at the moment. Yeah, very good. And I guarantee you that, I'm sorry to guarantee you, that a time will come that it will not go well, and that it will be tough, and that it will be just, again, like a struggle, and that sex desire is back, and that envy is emerging, and that it's just so hard, and that the association of the Vaishnavas doesn't look so inspiring at all, and so on. I guarantee you that that will come as long as one is still on the waves of material, of the three modes of material nature. But being firmly fixed in that philosophical remembrance, it is about understanding it, thoroughly understanding it, Srimad Bhagavatam, and then thoroughly remembering it. Therefore, I use the word remembrance. Thoroughly remembering it. Not just vaguely remembering from yes, there is an eternal aspect to it all. I know, but meanwhile it's tough and I'm trying. Yes, no, I know, there's the eternal. No. Thoroughly remembering in detail, in full color, and that thorough remembrance is offered to us by Srimad Bhagavatam, and the more we remember it, transcendence, the transcendental realm, in all its glory and all its in all detail, even if we can't see it, even if we have no direct experience of it, seeing it through the scriptures and the writings of the acharyas and remembering all the opulence of transcendence, of Krishna and his transcendental realm and his associates and so on, we become filled and that remembrance becomes strong and rich, and we will not be so much shaken by the waves of material nature as we're sitting in our little boat of transcendental knowledge. And in that way, we can remain strong in our motivation and then take shelter. That's what we see in the acharyas. They just take shelter. They get into the Bhagavatam. They get into the holy name. They don't just do it quickly. They really make time and take time to just get into it. And then it goes beyond austerity to an inspirational level. And we have to endeavor in this area. This is required. If we don't endeavor, and if we think that everything will come on automatic pilot, then it may not. We may get mercy and somehow or other we're still there, but we may not rise above the struggling with these six enemies. And that's tough. Then spiritual life is tough. And then a slip can also easily happen. So absorption is required, and that may have to be initially practiced as an exercise rather than out of ecstasy. And in this way, different devotees are on different levels in the sky of transcendence and on different levels relating to the transcendental message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, I'll end. If there are questions or comments, I can try to respond. Go, please carry on. Yes. There are three levels described in the scripture of Vaishnavas, Kanista Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari, and the Uttama Adhikari. The Kanista Adhikari is a mundane devotee, is still very much absorbed in the mundane reality, and The Madhyam Adhikari is very much absorbed in the absolute reality and spends his time with substantial hearing and chanting about this absolute reality. The Uttama Adhikari is living in this absolute reality, is perceiving it in constantly. It is quite natural to remain in the Kanistha Adhikari position, because Kanistha Adhikari basically means that I'm holding close onto all my material securities, and from that platform I try to practice Krishna consciousness, and from that platform I try to surrender. And slowly, as I'm gaining realization and experience, then I'll let go. Yeah? Whereas on the Madhyam Adhikari platform, it is the spirit has to be, I sacrifice everything for Krishna. As soon as the acharyas or Krishna indicate that something has to be given up, I'll give it up. And as soon as they indicate that something has to be embraced, I'll embrace it with great enthusiasm. So that is quite an advanced platform. I do a little play sometimes. Today I'm not going to do the full play and stand on the Vyasasana as I sometimes do, but I'll just do it sitting. Basically, there was a man working on the roof. As he was on the roof, he slipped. He slided down, and just on the last moment, he grabbed the edge of the roof and was hanging on the edge of the roof. Saved, my God. Then he tried to pull himself up, but he hadn't done exercises for a long time, as most of us, and he didn't have the strength he used to have, and to sort of, he managed to pull himself up a bit, but the weight of all that, whatever it was counted also, and he couldn't swing his leg onto the roof. In other words, he couldn't get back on the roof. And he was hanging there, and he realized, how long can I hang here? So he started praying, oh my God, please save me, please save me, please save me. A voice from behind. Need any help? Who are you? I am God. Oh God, please help me, please help me. All right, I will. Just let go of the roof, and I will catch you. Can't you catch me first, and then I'll let go of the roof? So this is the crux of the matter. And this is the dividing line between Kanistha and Madhyam, where we must be brave. And if we really want to go beyond the struggling stage of devotional service, constantly struggling with these six enemies, we have to let go. When Srila Bhakti Siddhanta spoke about a marriage party and rowing all night in a boat, and in the morning they found out the anchor was still out, the anchor is that. We have to say goodbye. Goodbye, sense gratification. Right? We have to really do it. Right? It's kind of tough. It's a little painful. And therefore, we see a lot of people hesitate. So we have a challenge to really get more serious. And if we do, then immediately, a whole world of inspirational devotional service opens up. And that's the Madhyam Adhikari. That's not even the Uttama Adhikari. So Madhyam is nice. Kanistha. In the Kanistha state, spiritual life is sometimes nice, but many times, oh, it's tough. So yeah, that's where we're at. So, how to become a Madhyam Adhikari? By building, not by a decision, and from today on I'm going to do it. That was an inspiring lecture, and now I will act like a brahmin, like a Madhyam Adhikari. I'm going to do it. That's something like New Year, you know? All the good intentions for the year, are, what is it today, already forgotten. Something like that. So that won't work. One has to build. One has to put some good, some right things in place. So just put the right habits in place. Okay, I'm going to rise earlier. Put it in place. I'm going to put more energy into my chanting. Put it in place. I'm going to regularly read the Bhagavatam, not coincidentally, but I'm going to, as I stumble over it, hey, what's that? The Bhagavatam, look at that. Gee, I didn't see that for a long time. Interesting. I forgot all about it. God, it's so nice. Not exactly like that, but put it in place, right? Put it into our life. So build a spiritual life. That's Madhyamadhikari. That's the transition. By building our spiritual life and putting the right things in place, then we'll break through, and then it will be inspiring like that. Anyone else? And always being the first, and over endeavor then, maybe. Always being the first. Okay, well, it's good to be the first. Puffed up, okay, is also a form of over endeavor. It's good to be the first, you know, if you can be the first. But then you really have to be the first. Like in the spiritual world, there's also competition. And Srimati Radharani somehow or other comes out victorious again. But they give her a good run for her money. You know, it's not from, well, Radharani is the greatest devotee, you know. No, I mean, don't even try, you know. Don't bother trying. She's going to beat you anyway. No. They're giving her, they're really going for it, you know. So, we must be the first, but not act as if we are the first while we are, you know, the bottom of the barrel, right? That is a problem. Right? We are the bottom of the barrel, right? A total mercy case, and we're walking around like, how advanced am I? Have you noticed? And if not, what's wrong with you? That is a problem. Yes. So. You also use the word balance. Well, balance is such a word in Krishna consciousness that always comes up, the balance questions. And there is no such thing as a position which is balanced. Right? Or a permanent position that is balanced. That we can say, now I have found the balance. And it's on that square here. In the temple room. It's not. It doesn't work like that. It is said, it is balance in motion. The example is given like riding a bicycle. You know, you see the bicycle is going like that. Because as we move, we have to shift the balance. And that is how it is. So balance means one has balance when one ongoingly strives for balance. And one has no balance when one neglects such endeavor to create balance. Balance will not occur on its own. Balance must be always created by endeavor. And then one can look at what to balance. I once thought of an example of three balls which we juggle, because a juggler is also balancing. And I thought, if we could manage to balance personal well-being, mentally, physically, and whatever, our sadhana or our bhajan, our spiritual practices, and some contribution to the mission. And if we could balance these three, I think then we're having a nice, balanced spiritual life. And it's like juggling three balls. So that means a different ball gets attention at a different point in time. There's one in the air and there's one in the hand that has to, that gets the attention. So like that, different aspects must be given attention at different points in time. That is balance. So there's not one position that is called balance. And we always get the balance question, you know, like how to keep the balance between two things. So this is the principle of balance, by endeavoring to find the balance at every moment. Anyone else? No. TK. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada. Ki jaya.